Well, open your Bibles. I want to continue this morning, and I'm just so grateful for the privilege of being able to share the Word this morning. Thankful to you for being here. Thankful to the Father for calling me into this ministry, and I'm just honored and privileged and love what I get to do. So this morning, I want to take just a couple of moments and talk to you. We're going to be continuing in Romans chapter 8, and I shared with you last week how important this particular chapter is. Some theologians, and many that I've had, have said that Romans is the greatest book in the entire Bible because of what it talks about, how it reflects God's plan for mankind. But Romans 8 has often been designated by many theologians as the greatest chapter in the book of Romans. And if you begin to read it and you see all that it covers, all that it speaks to, it will speak to almost every part of your life. And so that's why I want to take just a little bit of time here and go through this chapter and break it down piece by piece and see what the Lord wants to say to us through this. So today I want to talk to you about this subject. As we read this and as you listen to me this morning, I want you to get these words in your mind, these four little words. Think different, you live different. Say that with me. Think different, you live different. Again, you live different. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You got to get this now. This is Paul telling us, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I choose life and peace over death any day. How about you? Amen. Come on now. Amen. You choose life and peace? Yes. All right. Here's why. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, get this. Those who are in the flesh cannot do what? Please God. But you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. I feel something building here. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for the power and the impact that it has on our hearts and on our lives. Speak to us this morning. Let us, every one of us, leave challenged by what you have to say to us in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. So are y'all with me this morning? Yes. Are y'all here?
Yes.
Now, one of the greatest evidences of salvation is not merely a changed destination, but listen, it's a changed mindset. It's a changed way of thinking. When a person comes to Christ, God does more than just promise him or her heaven someday. That's a wonderful promise. Can I get a witness here? It's wonderful to know you're going to heaven, but there's more to being a child of God than just making it to heaven. Because when you accept Christ into your life, God the Father begins a transformation process in your life that will change you from the inside out. See, that's the issue with so many people today. They're the same way today they were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. God wants us to be constantly being transformed, being changed. You ought to be stronger in Christ today than you were yesterday. You ought to have a more intimate relationship with him today than you had a week ago. Because we're always supposed to be growing and changing and increasing. Because you know what? When things get stagnant, they start to stink. Right? You ever been to a body of water that's been sitting there stagnant? And after a while, you don't want to drink none of that stuff. Amen? Right? You'll probably get sick. You want something that's alive and living. And the church ought to be the most alive place happening around here. Yes. We ought to be the most vibrant, most joy-filled, most peace-filled. Yes. Even if we're walking through the middle of a storm, we can still have peace. Amen. I'll tell you this. You can sit in a funeral home and have joy. Yes. Cold glory to God. See, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within the believer, and he begins this work. He begins a powerful work. He begins to renew your mind. He begins to change your desires. See, if you've got the same desires today you had when you were living in sin, something's wrong. If you want to go to the same places that you used to go to when you were a heathen, something's wrong. I don't want to go to the nightclubs. I know what it's like to walk in a club and stay there all night. I've done that. I've been there. I played that game. I want to tell you, that has nothing for me. I'd rather be with you here on a Sunday morning, lifting my hands, laying on the floor, praising God, giving Him praise for all that He's done for me. Now, Romans 8 stands as one of the most triumphant chapters in all of Scripture, because after describing the struggle with sin in Romans chapter 7, Paul now turns the attention to the victory that we have through the Holy Spirit. He teaches us that there are two ways to live. Number one, you can live according to the flesh, or you can live according to the Spirit. And the difference between these two, the flesh and the Spirit, the difference begins here, in your mind, in your thinking. A Spirit-filled life begins with a controlled mind. Imagine two people standing at an airport. They're getting ready to board separate flights. They may be dressed similarly. They may be carrying very similar luggage, and even standing in the same terminal. Yet one flight is headed to New York and the other to Los Angeles. See, the difference is not what is visible on the outside, but what direction they have chosen. You understand what I'm saying here this morning? See, in the same way, two people may look very similar on the outside, but their lives are directed by something very different. One is governed by the flesh. The other is governed by the Spirit. Paul teaches that before there's a difference in behavior, there's a difference in your thinking. See, we try to clean people up. We try to tell them, you ought to live like this. You ought to live like I think you should live. And we put all these burdens and bondages on them. Let's just let the Holy Spirit do the teaching. Amen? Let's live by example, yes. Let's have standards, yes. But let's don't be judgmental in our standards. Because you know what? I may look at someone and they may be struggling, but they're trying. And if I'm not careful, if I judge them and they find out I'm judging them, I'm going to turn them away. I should embrace them and offer them my help and support and love through Christ. But that change begins, first of all, in your mindset, in your thinking, in your way of thinking. Because before there is a different destination, there's a difference in direction. The minds, the flesh has a mindset. Because watch this. Because where the mind goes, the life will follow. Romans 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. What are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? What are you setting your attention towards? See, how about this? I just came across this little survey. Did you know that Americans are increasingly worried? According to a 2025 poll from the American Psychiatric Association. They say that more Americans are anxious about current happenings around the world. 2/3 of Americans worry about job security. 40% of employed adults worry about financial pressure, political uncertainty, violence, and world events. And they are the main sources of anxiety that people are experiencing. Now, research also shows that there is an increase, a significant daily increase, that nearly almost 49% of Americans are living under anxiety of some form or fashion. Financial concerns continue to rank as a leading source of stress. Aren't you glad gas prices are going down some?
Yes.
Followed by work. Sometimes work can be very stressful. You ought to come work with me sometime. Health is another area that we stress out about. And then there's relationships. But I found this out, that our youth, our young people, report that their mental health was, quote, not good most or all of the time during the previous month. They consider their mental health not good. 29%, that's almost 1 in 3 of U.S. high school students tell us that. And then there's an anxiety disorder of about 11% of children ages 3 through 17 are dealing with. See, the devil is trying to put anxiety on us. He's trying to control what we think. And you know, a lot of the stuff that we think we get from television or social media. We got to be careful what we take into our eye gates. We got to be careful what we listen to, what we watch, because it does have an influence on you. How long, if you were to balance your life today, if God were to come in here and say, okay, we're going to examine your life, and we're going to look at what you did last week, how much time did you spend in the Word and in prayer, and how much time did you spend in front of your telephone or your iPhone or your, or whatever the other, Android? Think about that. Just, you know, we just came back from the mountains, and you know, it's amazing. You can just be going down the highway looking at cars as they go past you or you pass them. How many people are doing this? Even driving down the road. We spend so much time taking stuff in, and we neglect the important thing of taking the Word in. And we wonder why we're so weak. We wonder why when trouble comes, we can't stand. I want to tell you, when trouble comes, you can stand. I want to tell you, you can get the bad report from the doctor. It might tell you you're going to die. I got that report because, listen, my doctor told me when I got that last heart report, he said, don't lift anything over 10 pounds. We don't want your heart to explode. Now, that helped me at home because, you know, I tried to tell my wife, I can't do that. But she's too much of a faith woman. She says, yes, you can. So I got to roll with it. But what are we spending our time doing? And this is not a message for the world. It's a message for us. Okay? Because I think the Holy Spirit is trying to whip us into shape. He's trying to get us ready for what's about to come. Let me just tell you, this world ain't getting no better. I don't care who's in the White House. I don't care who sits in the Congress. This world ain't gonna get no better. Have you noticed how even America is coming out against Israel? There's coming a day. Israel will stand alone. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me take that back. Israel never stands alone because Jehovah. Paul teaches us here that every life is directed by a mindset or a way of thinking. The word mind refers to the direction, the focus, or the inclination of a person's thoughts and desires. See, the fleshly mind is consumed with self. Oh, yeah. It prioritizes earthly things. It prioritizes sinful desires and personal gratification. See, we live in a culture that constantly tells us our value is determined by what we own, what we drive, where we vacation, and how successful we appear to others. People can become consumed with climbing the corporate ladder, building a bigger bank account, or acquiring the latest possessions. Listen, there's nothing wrong with being successful, nothing wrong with hard work, nothing wrong with possessions. But when they become the focus of our thoughts and our affections, then the flesh is driving our mind. Our culture also promotes the idea that if you feel something, you should follow it. Lust is celebrated. Anger is justified. Revenge is encouraged. And pride is rewarded. Instead of asking the question of what does God want out of this, the flesh says, what do I want? What am I going to get for God? But our flesh says, what am I going to get out of this? Come on. The fleshly mind seeks permission to indulge desires rather than the power to overcome them. I'm just going to tell you right here, front and center, that there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ to overcome those fleshly desires. Don't you believe the lie of the devil says you can't stop? He's a liar. He's trying to keep you in bondage. God wants you free. In fact, God's already paid the price for your freedom. You're bound, you're bound because you choose to be bound. Oh, Pastor, I don't care what your doctor says. Your doctor's going to tell you what he's been trained to tell you. He's going to tell you what he sees. I want to know, what does God see? God sees me free, healthy, whole, delivered, in peace, living in joy. We become too accustomed to instant gratification. If we want to be entertained, we've got it immediately. We've got our Netflix. We've got our Amazon Prime. We've got Hulu. We've got MGM Plus and EGM Minus and HBO, whatever. We've got it right at our fingertips. Instant gratification. If we want information, we Google it and we get it instantly. If we want something delivered, thank God for DoorDash. And if you need something now, I've ordered stuff. I've ordered stuff and all of a sudden I get a notice, it'll be here this afternoon. I'm thinking, what? The mindset, the way of thinking, can spill over into our spiritual lives. The flesh says, I want what I want, and I want it now. It resists sacrifice. It resists patience, self-denial, and it resists obedience. See, the difference between the flesh and the spirit is the question that we ask ourselves every day. A fleshly mind approaches life with three questions. Get this. What's best for me? What makes me happy? What do I get out of it? You ask someone to serve in a position at church, and they're starting to think, well, what's it going to do for me? It ain't about you. I love Jesus. Jesus said, he said, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. I can see Jesus walking in here now saying, what do you need at church? You need someone at the Welcome Center? I'll do it. You need someone at the media running ProPresenter? I'll do it. You need a sound man? You need a praise team singer? I'll do it. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. So What kind of questions does a spiritual mind ask? Number one, what glorifies God? What honors Christ? What advances His kingdom? I don't want this to be a church. I don't want to be a church trying to build a church. You follow me? God never called us to build the church. Jesus said this. He said, I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If we let Him, see, if we build it, hell can knock us down. But if we let Jesus build the church, we can stand at hell's greatest attacks. We can stand, and we not only will we stand, but we will be offensive. We will march and move and take back kingdoms that the devil has stolen from people. Now, I want to be a church that advances His kingdom. Consider social media. Much of social media is designed to do what? To feed the flesh. You know, I noticed a trend going on recently. You know, I can see someone, if I were to meet someone on social media, if I were to meet them through social media, like on Facebook, for example, and I see their picture, and then I would walk into a store and see them in real life, I wouldn't even know who they were. Because I've seen some pictures going up, it don't look nothing like the person. They make them the profile pictures. You hear me? It's not about the flesh and pleasing yourself. I'm telling you, let's just be real. Amen? Wouldn't you be disappointed if you made a date with someone because you saw their profile pic and they were like 22 and slim and trim, and you got there and they were 400 pounds and bald, you know? Let's just be real is all I'm saying. Let's just do whatever it takes to glorify God. See, social media, it encourages people to curate an image, to seek approval through likes and comments, to compare themselves to others, to make life revolve around themselves. Look at me. But you know what? Social media itself is not the problem. It's our mind that's the problem. Because the flesh says, look at me. But the spirit mindset says, look at Christ. See Jesus through me. Didn't Paul say something like this? Follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. If I don't follow Christ, don't follow me. But if I am following Christ, let's run. Let's run this race together. Praise God. The flesh turns the spotlight toward self while the spirit turns it toward Jesus. The flesh is not merely the physical body. It represents our fallen nature that's apart from God's influence. A person living according to the flesh continually thinks from a human perspective rather than from a godly one. But before behavior changes, the mind is already fixed on something. I remember when I first got saved, I've told this before, I remember just as clearly when I knelt down and accepted Jesus into my life, I wish I would have got up, my mind renewed. How about you? But I got up, I knew I was born again, I knew I was a new creation, I knew what was no longer existed, I was a new creature in His kingdom, but my mind was still the same. I still thought the same kind of thoughts. And it takes time to get those thoughts taken care of. It takes time to deal with them. Sometimes God will set you free instantly. Praise God for those times. But sometimes you got to work at it. Sometimes you got to drive that stuff out of your mind. Because it will try to influence you and overtake you. Sometimes you got to cut the TV off and open up the Bible. See what God has to say. Flood your mind with spirit. Flood your mind with things of God. To get strong in God, get strong in the Word. I believe the Holy Spirit's calling this church to the Word. Not to a pastor, not to a people, not to a denomination. Although I love our denomination, but it's calling us to something higher than anything in that ballpark. He's calling us to the Word of the living God. See, your denomination ain't gonna change your life. Your friends ain't going to change your life, but the Word of God will change your life. Whew. You know, talking about social media, I've taken a few classes. At one point in my life, I decided to go back to school, and I thought, well, you know, I love media, I love web design, so I went back to school and started taking those kind of classes. I learned about security, I learned about algorithms, I learned about all that stuff, and then I realized, wait a minute, this ain't the calling on my life. So then I went back to Bible college, so I course corrected. But I did learn some stuff while I was there. And you know what? Most people have noticed that social media, the algorithms, will learn what they like. You know what I got filling my feed right now? Dogs. Because we started looking and talking about, I kid you not, you've probably seen this too, but I kid you not, I have talked about something and next thing I know it's in my social media feed. My dad, we got him a dog. My mom passed, and we felt like he needed some companionship because me and my brother, as much as we love him, we can't sit there all the time. And some of you guys have been coming, helping him. Thank you for that. But he needed something that he could take care of. So we got him a little doggy, a little maltipoo. And I've heard my dad, if you go to Ray's page on Facebook and you look at the video she shared, you will hear the audio, and you hear my dad laughing in the background. I have not heard him laugh in a long time, but that little mutt has made my dad laugh. And so, but my point is, now, by every other post, do you want a dog? How about dog training? I mean, all that stuff is filling my feed. So algorithms learn what interests you. If you watch a few videos on a certain topic, before long, your whole feed is filled with that topic. And it gives you more of what you've been consuming. Think about that. See, our minds work in the same way. Whenever we repeatedly focus, whatever we begin to repeatedly focus on begins to shape our thinking, our desires, our attitudes, and even it spills over into our actions. If we constantly dwell on negative stuff, on worldly stuff, on sinful things, those thoughts become stronger pathways to our mind. It's like that old saying, you are what you think. But when we consistently fill our minds with God's truth, the Holy Spirit will use that truth to transform us. So eventually, your life will become a reflection of what has been filling your mind. Did y'all get that? Doesn't Proverbs tell us, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he? But the battle for holiness is often won or lost in our mind. The fleshly mindset leads somewhere. It produces consequences. But Paul shows us the glorious result of a surrendered mind in the Spirit. Because, listen to this, the Spirit gives life and peace. Amen. Amen? For to be carnally minded is death, the Word says. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Paul here is presenting a striking contrast for us to look at. One mindset, one way of thinking, produces death. But the other produces life and peace. Death here refers to spiritual separation from God and all the emptiness that comes with it. A flesh-controlled life, it might promise you satisfaction, but it will ultimately leave you empty. It'll leave you restless. And listen to this, it will leave you broken. But by contrast to that, a spirit-controlled mind experiences peace that can only come from God. That's how you can be walking on the storms of your life. All hell unleashed against you. It's coming from the left and from the right. But you have a peace that you can't even begin to comprehend or begin to explain to anyone else, because you didn't create it. The world didn't create it, obviously. It came from somewhere higher than you. It came from the throne room of God. This is not merely existence. It's the abundant life that Jesus has promised us. I just got to drive this point home this morning for some reason. I don't care what you're going through, how hard it is or how bad it may look, you can still live an abundant life. Because God is greater than your problem. And even if you're going through something, and we tend to think, especially in the prosperity movement within the realms of the church, we tend to think that if we're going through trouble, then we've failed. See, some things try to make you think that. Some places try to make you think that you're not living right if you're having struggles. But let me just tell you something here this morning. You will have struggles. You will have times and seasons when things don't go your way. But I want to just remind you this morning that God is for you, not against you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And even in the middle of your storm, even in the middle of your fiery furnace, you can look around in the room and see that you're not standing by yourself. The greater one is with you. And one of the things that God has been speaking into my heart is, I don't know, the last few weeks watching my mom go through the things that she went through, I prayed this prayer. I told Brother Gary Bateman last night. I said, Brother, he said, I feel kind of bad. I said, in some ways, because we brought my mom home because nursing home, never again. Leave that where it's at. She stayed one night, almost a night, and we. We brought her home. We made the arrangements, got a hospital bed, got her home. But my mom would lay there all during the night, moaning, groaning, in pain. And we gave her the highest amount of morphine and stuff that we could give her. But she would still wake up. Jeff could testify, moaning and groaning. She would cry out. And to hear your mom cry out your name and say, help me. Why won't you help me? It breaks your heart. So I prayed this prayer. Well, this is a little off base. I'll share this since Dad's not here this morning. I doubt it. Seriously, he's watching. One of the hospice nurses and one of the, let me just say, we used visiting angels. You've heard of them? Fantastic. I mean, they stayed there 24 hours. And Edward, I mean, we couldn't have done it without them. But they called me over there and said, listen, if you could just get your dad to tell your mom that he's going to be okay and that she can go, we feel like she might go ahead and pass on. Well, I looked them right in the eye and said, I'm going to tell you what, my dad ain't going to do that. He don't want her to go. And which I understand that. And it's hard trying to explain to him that, you know, she's probably not going to make it. Even though to the very end, he still was hoping she was going to get up out of that bed. So one after they had left, or I was alone with mom at night, or something, I can't remember exactly when, I leaned over and I had her attention. She could communicate with you some. I said, Mom, I just want you to know that we're going to take care of Dad. Yes. And whenever you're ready to go, yes, you got something greater waiting for you. Yes. And then she wasn't long, too long after that, she went home to be with Jesus. But I did pray this. I said, Lord, and I felt, in a way, I felt kind of guilty. But at the same time, I understand. See, I don't look at it in the natural sense. My mom, that's her body. You hear me? That's just a body. That's not my mom. I said, Lord, she was laying there suffering. I said, Lord, listen, if you're going to heal her, please heal her. But if not, take her home with you. And that was my prayer. And at first, I felt guilty. It wasn't because I didn't want to help her. I just didn't want her suffering. And I knew that once life left her body, I knew who's going to be standing there waiting for her. Hallelujah. The moment life left that physical body, my Bible tells me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I know that that moment when life, she breathed her last breath on this side of heaven. She breathed her next breath in the arms of Jesus. So I just thank God. And see, I've got a totally different feeling, you know. And, you know, I went to the gravesite yesterday, and I stood there, and I said, well, you know, that ain't my mama. That's just flesh and blood. But there will come a day when the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Now, my mama was a smart lady. My mama was a very frugal lady, very tight. If you had to borrow money from her, you had to get a court order. And you had to pay it back. She kept a payment plan. She loaned some money to us one time, and I found a book where she had written down, Eddie and Ray, we bought a refrigerator, and she helped us pay for it. And she had it marked down every time we make a payment back to her. And I finally see it at the bottom, paid in full. I said, thank God. You know? But my mom is at peace. You hear me? And I'm at peace. Because my mom, being very frugal, you know what she did? She planned her funeral many years ago. But when she did, she bought one of those crypt things, you know, they put you in the mausoleum. And she didn't get the one at the bottom. Or we could stand there, you know, at the grave. She got the one at the very top. Well, if you want to put a flower on a grave, you got to get a thing and lift it up there. So one of two things have happened. Number one, that's the cheapest. Or my mama thought, we're going to be the first to go. If the dead in Christ rise first, you got to think the ones at the top are going to go first, right? So who knows? My money's on the money part, but the good news is that when Jesus comes back, the dead in Christ are going to rise. I can't help walking to a graveyard, and that's my first thought. Going to come a day when the dead in Christ are going to rise, and then we which are alive and remain, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed, praise God. Whew. So I want my thinking to be lined up with His way of thinking. That's where I'm going with all this morning. I got off track. I've still got a few minutes here before 3 o'clock, so hang on. The world searches for peace in possessions, in achievement, in relationships, and in entertainment. But true peace can only come through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind, if I say mind, here we go, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So notice again the connection between peace and the mind. What are you thinking about? What governs your life is based on what enters your mind. Let me move ahead here. I want to bring this kind of to a close. My last point here is this. This is what Paul wants to drive home in this little portion of Scripture here. That the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Amen. Look at your neighbor and go, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Oh, God. I really wish we would get a revelation of what that really means. You know what? I can look out at this congregation, and I tell you the truth, I'm not looking at normal people. There's something different about you people. Some good. Some not quite as good. But here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at some men and women who are filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Did y'all hear what this little preacher just said? I'm looking at people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't help. My mind goes. Here's where my mind goes when I think about that. My mind goes to, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I go on and I read of how the Spirit of God would hover over the waters. I believe the Spirit of God was a creative force. That when Jesus or the Father would speak the word, the Holy Spirit would go and create. Whew. That same Spirit lives in you. How about this? One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture, Acts 10:38. You might can quote it with me now. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He was different. You hear me? He was different. He could touch someone with blind eyes and they would open instantly. He could stand at the tomb of a man been dead for 4 days and cry out, "Lazarus, come forth," and the grave would let him go. He could walk on water. He healed the sick, opened blinded eyes. He raised the dead, set captives free, put people back in their right minds, restored withered hands. His name was Jesus. And my Bible says, Acts 10:38, of how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Not just with a good sermon, or a good message, or a good lineage. He anointed him with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Why? For God was with him. I want to tell you this morning, this Sunday morning, church, you hear me. Brothers and sisters, I want you to hear me loud and clear. You walking out those doors, you're not walking alone because your God is with you. You can face every storm. You can face every disaster. You can face every force of lack that the devil tries to put on you because you're not doing it by yourself anymore. You've got the greater one living inside of you. He's the Holy Ghost of God. Jesus even said, he told his disciples, "It is to your advantage that I go away." And they're like, "What? You're leaving us? You can't leave us. I mean, we've seen you heal the sick. We've heard the crowds as they would gasp when you would open blinded eyes. We were there when you did all these miracles, and now you're telling us you're going to leave us? What's wrong with this picture?" Jesus said, "But it is to your advantage." One translation says, "It is expedient for you that I go away." Because if I don't go away, the Father won't send the Holy Spirit. But if I go away, and I remember in Acts, the disciples watched him as he rose through the clouds in the glory. And then just a few days later, they were praying and interceding in the upper room, 120 of them gathered, tarrying before the Lord. And all of a sudden, they got a suddenly. Whew. God, give us a suddenly in this house. Oh, hallelujah. They were praying in the spirit of unity, and God gave them a suddenly. And the Spirit of God came to the earth to remain here, to empower his people to build this thing that we know as the church of the living God. So, you walk out these doors, you ain't normal. You may be weird to the world. You may be outcast to this world. But your kingdom is not of this world. Oh, glory to God. My kingdom is not of this world. Ah! My kingdom that I get to be part of is an eternal kingdom. You know, on this earth, kingdoms come, kingdoms go. We think America is all that, right? We've only been here 250 years, you hear me? Rome was here thousands of years. They came and they went. Kingdoms come, kingdoms go. Let me say it like this. Earthly kingdoms come, earthly kingdoms go, but of his kingdom. Of his kingdom, brother. It will never fade away.
Right.
It will never pass away. It is from everlasting to everlasting. It has no beginning. It has no end. We've been called out of the darkness of this world to be a part of that kingdom. So when you walk out those doors today, I'm way off my script today, okay? I'm just telling you, I'm way off base. I'm way off base. I'm way beyond my thinking for just a moment. But I just want to encourage you that when you walk out those doors, you're walking out of here as somebody. The devil lies and says you are nobody, but God says you are a somebody.
Amen.
You are somebody that I chose to put my spirit in. So some of you might go home. You might have to face devils in your home. You might have to face demons at your workplace. Well, I just want you to walk out of here knowing that you are more than a conqueror. You are somebody. Oh, no, no, no. You are a nobody that knows somebody. Summer, God loves you. He died for you. He died for you, Pam. He went to heaven for the Dudleys.
Yes.
So that the Holy Spirit could come and live within the Dudleys. Y'all hear me this morning? You have the power of God on the inside of you. Don't you see why the devil fights us so hard? He'd rather you sit with your feet stuck up in your recliner, staring at your TV all afternoon. And you get this notice on your phone says, read your daily reading, your Bible reading, you're behind.
Yes.
You just pass past it. You keep watching your Netflix. But the spirit in you is crying out, we don't need Netflix. Now, there's nothing wrong with being entertained. You know, it's okay. If it's wholesome stuff, it's okay. We got shows my wife and I like. We just started watching this show a while back. It's on one of the networks. Pureflix, is that right? Pureflix. It's about EMTs. My son is an EMT now, so we kind of thought it'd be good. And these EMTs, they cook lunch and eat dinner together and stuff. So I texted Alan and said, who does the cooking for y'all? He goes, what? We don't do that. That ain't real life. But that's meant to be entertainment, of course, obviously. But so there's stuff that you can watch that's good for you. But let me just challenge you, church. Okay, we're in this season now of change in our church here. And when I say change, it's not like God is doing something drastic. I think he's calling us back to some new stuff, to some old stuff.
Yes.
Amen?
Right.
I remember riding by this church several years ago, but when it was a closed, open-heart church of God. The doors had been locked. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, get back to your roots. And that meant several different things to me through this course of this whole endeavor. But I do believe it means you got to get back to the basics of the Bible. You got to, here you go, here's Bible 101. You got to read it. You got to meditate on it. You got to think on it. So when the devil tries to flood your mind with bad thoughts, replace those bad thoughts with what the Word of God says. But I can't. Yes, you can. The same way you run to your medicine cabinet and grab that anxiety medicine or that migraine medicine, grab the medicine of the Word of God. Use that medicine, yes. Don't get me wrong. If you're on anxiety medicine, use it. Let your doctor take you off. But the best way to get off of it is to let the Word drive it from your life. That's what I'm trying to do with my blood pressure. My blood pressure, I was on stronger medicine, but I'm trying to drive that out of my life through the Word of God. And I want the doctors to look at me and say, you don't need this no more. I believe you're going to go to the doctor. He's going to say, you don't need this stuff no more, whatever it might be. You know, I speak that over you, okay? Because you're my friend. Now, I know the devil has fought you, but he's failed. You hear me? He's failed. You're still standing, right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. We're still standing. It ain't always easy. But we are guaranteed victory, Sister Rita, because of Jesus Christ this morning. Can I get a witness here? Are y'all with me? Amen? Am I the First Baptist? That'd be all right. I'll go to the First Methodist. I don't care. You know, I often thought, I'd hate to be the Second Baptist. Does that mean you're not as good as the First? I just don't know how that works. I'm just playing. I digress. Let me bring this to a quick close. See, it ain't even 12 o'clock yet. Because the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is more than able to raise us above whatever we face today. The Holy Spirit's not merely an influence, not just a feeling. He is the living presence of God. He is the third person of the Godhead. Yes. It's like God Himself living inside of you. And because He lives in us, we have the power, get this, we have the power to overcome sin. Yes. Stop making excuses saying it's too strong. It's not too strong for Jesus. It might be too strong for you, but it's not too strong for Him. Who are you submitting to? We have the strength to endure trials. You better get a hold of that one. Because in these last days, I don't know if it's going to be 5 years, 10 years, or 100 years. I don't know when Christ is coming. I just know He's coming. I know the signs and the seasons. And my Bible tells me when I see those things to look up. My redemption is drawing near. I don't know if I'm going to leave this life through death or through the sound of the trumpet. But either way, I'm going to make it. You follow me? But until He does come, I'm not promised that this world is going to get better. It's going to probably get worse. And it might get worse rather quickly. Because you see how quickly one man can change things. One political party can change things. Let me just make this statement. I'm not a political preacher. I don't like to get up here and say Democrat, Republican. I just want to tell you, follow the Word. Amen. Follow the Word of God. If that person does not believe the Bible or stand for the truth of the Scripture, don't you give him your vote. If he violates what Scripture says, you find someone else to vote for. Let's have some principles based on the standards of the Word of God. Not cultural, not because your people tell you to do that or your family tells you to do that. Do it because God says do it. That's what you'll be judged by. Okay? But it doesn't matter who's going to be in office because, listen, I believe all authority is God ordained. And every little piece that's happening is happening because God is shaping and shifting and moving things into place. And we are so close to the end of time as we know it. That means things might get pretty rough for the Christians. What if they came and told us we couldn't have church next Sunday? Don't you think it can't happen? Don't you think the devil's not trying to stop us? Not just us, but the church as a whole. What are we going to do then? What about other countries that have to go underground to have church? They have to meet in private. Would you be willing to risk your life to worship Jesus? And we say, yeah, until it happens. Then we'll see then. So don't wait. Don't wait to build your faith to be able to stand when you are in the fire. Start now. Start today. Start now. Faith is now. Put the Word at work in your life. Get strong in the Word. Give me some worshipers that are strong in the Word. Give me some worship, some teachers strong in the Word. Give me some prayer people that are strong in the Word, and we can see God do great things in our midst. Because the Spirit lives in us, we have hope in suffering. And how about this one? We have an assurance of a future resurrection. I don't know about you. The older I get, the more that means to me. I look in the mirror, and I can't even believe I'm saying this. I'm 62 years old. We went to a place the other day in the mountains, and I asked for the senior discount. I never thought, when I would be 62, I thought by the time I hit 62, I'd be in a nursing home. I thought my dad was old. My dad's 87 now. He's still going strong. You know, I want to be going strong. I want to be like Moses. I want my health to be my sight and my health to be unabated. Amen? But the older you get, the more you do realize there is hope. Because chances are I'm going to leave this life by the way of death. There's a good chance. There's either one or two ways I'm going to go. I'm so glad to know this morning I'm ready. Should the trumpet sound, I don't have to look back. Does that mean I've lived a perfect life? Absolutely not. I'm probably worse than most of you. I have failed. I have messed up. But I have learned this, that when I mess up, I repent. Amen. When I talk bad to my wife, I have to repent. If I want to live this life on earth, I have to repent. Usually to her. Then I talk to God about it. But I have learned that the way to survive this life and to make it is to live a life of repentance. Because we're human, we're flesh, we're going to make mistakes. But when you learn to live like that, because you know what? The Holy Spirit will teach you. When you start to let your mind be governed by the things of the Spirit, when you do something wrong, the Holy Spirit will say, hold up. We need to work on that. And that's when you say, whoa, I'm backing up. Change me, Holy Spirit. Forgive me if I have failed the word, if I have sinned against the Father. Forgive me. Let the blood wash me, make me whole. Help me not to do that again. See, that's what repentance is. Yes. Now, what most people are going to do is, I'm sorry, forgive me. Till next time. That's not repenting. No. Repenting says, I have messed up. I'm not going to let that happen again. And if it does, you still have that same mentality because you are human. You will make, sometimes it takes a lot of work to get beyond some things. Don't let the devil lie to you and say it's easy. It's not easy sometimes, but you got to be persistent in it. I have prayed the same prayer so many times. I have applied the blood of Jesus to my life so many times over things that I've had to think about. Because I want to be able to lay my head on my pillow at night and know that should life leave this body, or should the trump of God sound, I'm ready. Yes. I'm ready right now. If he comes, I know I'm ready. Yes. I know that I know that I know that I know that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. How do I know that? Because I'm standing on the word of God. And I've asked Jesus to come into my heart and forgive me of all my sin. And I know the Bible says that when I do that, when I confess him with my mouth, that he will come in and be Lord of my life. And so the thing is, what are you going to do after you make that confession? How many times have people come to the altar, they weep and they cry and they pray the prayer, but then they get up and they go back and live their life the same way? But we ain't like that. Turn to your neighbor and say, no, no, no. We ain't like that. Praise team, would you come on up?